Welcome to Sermons from St. Paul's, a ministry of St. Paul's Anglican Church in Melbourne, Florida. We invite you to listen and to walk with us through the church year so that together we might hear the voice of Christ and follow him into the life of the world to come. These sermons are presented by Father Brian Oldfield, who serves as rector of St. Paul's.
Maranatha, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What I just told you, it comes from 1 Corinthians 16:22. The apostle closes his letter with this word, Maranatha. It's only used once in Holy Scripture, and it means, come, Lord. It refers to Christ's return to us. It almost feels like St. Paul sighs with longing. And it seems similar to St. John at the end of Revelation when he says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. The second coming of Christ and the triumph of the kingdom of God energized and drove the apostles and the early Christians. In the book of Acts, we see Christians eagerly looking forward to the second coming. They offered everything that they had to the apostles for the sake of Christ, up to and including many times their own lives. Christ was going to return, and they were going to be ready. Christ established his kingdom in his death and resurrection, and his reign continues to spread throughout the earth even today as more and more believe on his name for the forgiveness of sins. The early Christians, like us all today, were waiting for Christ to return so that he might, in the words of the prophet, execute judgment and justice in the earth, to set all things right. We read from the prophet Jeremiah instead of from an epistle text today, and it's very appropriate that we do so. We're on the precipice of Advent, where we anticipate, prepare for Christ's coming. So it seems fitting that a prophet should lead us there rather than the apostle for this day. And when Jeremiah preaches to the house of Israel way back then, 600 years before the time of Christ, he's preaching to a people at a pretty low ebb. Judgment and justice were not executed at this time. The temple and the royal court were notoriously and laughably corrupt. The poor were trampled upon. And the Jews gave themselves to the worship of idols and spurned the commandments of God. Enter Jeremiah to warn them of the coming judgment of Babylon, an attempt to stir up their wills towards repentance. But they instead chose their appetites. They were so far gone from the righteousness of the Lord. But even in the midst of that unbelief and that rebellion, God promises hope. He promises that a new king would rise up in the midst of corruption and decadence, and that God would give him and he would be called the Lord our righteousness. He would make all things right. Jeremiah foretells the coming day, the day of the Lord, where Christ would do what the kings of Israel and Judah failed to do, failed to show forth and fill the people of God with the righteousness of the Lord. Advent, what we are on the edge of, prepares us much in the same way. As we are prepared to celebrate the Lord's first day, his first coming, when he came to us in humility at Christmas, so we prepare to meet him at the last day when he returns in power and glory. We must, like the early church, focus towards the day of the Lord. And Advent is the perfect time to do so. We pray this day that God would stir up our wills, that we might desire those things which are in accordance with his will, that we might give ourselves to good works, and that we might be plenteously rewarded by God. This is the Maranatha spirit of the early church. Come, Lord Jesus. Because there is an expectation of the kingdom of God. Christ would return, and the day of the Lord is near. The early Christians knew that they were going somewhere. And we reflect that even today in our liturgy. We see that the worship that we participate in is the worship of that New Testament church, the worship that we see in the book of Revelation with the new heavens and the new earth, a promised land, resurrection, life everlasting, Christ upon his throne, and the kingdom of God. When we partake of the Holy Communion, we partake in the day of the Lord. And each time that we gather together for the communion, we look back at the facts of history and faith, including the death and resurrection of Jesus. We look forward with hope to his last coming. And then we persevere right now in this life in love. And we must be careful, because the temptation is that as year after year goes by, we can become comfortable with our own existence right now, where we look down to the earth, or maybe at our screens, rather than up towards the heaven in expectation. Our mission is the same mission of that early church, which was marked by the Maranatha Spirit. We are not simply to exist statically, unmovingly, in our little area of the world, but dynamically, we are moving forward to prepare for the great day, the day of the Lord. We tend to our souls and we build up the kingdom of God. And as time pressed on in the early church, this unbounded spiritual energy and zeal had to be channeled. We find times where monks and churchmen were beginning to neglect their duties because they would go out into the desert. Why? Maranatha, Christ is coming. I have to be ready. The bishops had to come and bring them back in order that they may continue to build up the church where they were. And those time, all that time turned to years and to decades and to centuries and now even millennia as we patiently wait for the great and final day of the Lord. Time, though, feels like a little bit of an enemy here, because it's unfortunate that that Maranatha spirit has been subdued. We can liken the spirit to that of a fire. The early church burned brightly with the zeal for Christ's return and his kingdom. But of course, that zeal must be properly kept so that it burns well for the good of the whole household. A fire and a hearth is useful for all sorts of things. Cooking, warmth, light, drying things. But a fire outside of a hearth can be rather dangerous. Again, looking towards the examples of the early church, that many would give themselves to martyrdom recklessly. And the bishops had to admonish all of those and said that it should be accepted if it came. The early martyrs thought, if Christ was going to return soon, then what use is this natural life of mine? For my life is found with Christ in his kingdom. This was the power of this Maranatha spirit within the church. Jesus is returning, and the urgency to prepare and to pray was untirable. The hearth of the church had to grow to contain and carry this fire to new lands so that more and more people might hear the gospel of the Lord, repent and believe and be saved. The hearth of the church produced a rule for life so that this fiery spirit within Christians might be ordered and disciplined so that it could burn longer with more intensity for the good of the whole household of God. And within our tradition as Anglicans, our Book of Common Prayer is an inheritor of that effort. But unfortunately, as time has progressed, the desire for Christ's return seems to have abated somewhat. Those early centuries, time marched on. Christ had not yet returned. Judgment for sin at the second coming began to weigh more heavily upon the medieval mind than the consummation of the kingdom of God. Christ indeed would return, and we needed to prepare, but it was something to be feared rather than welcomed or longed for. And time still marched on. Christ has not yet returned, And so the modern man came about and thought that the kingdom of God was something that would come about through the work of the church, perhaps in social relief and the establishment of the just society. Let us feed the hungry and care for the poor, for we then build the kingdom of God in this world. Christ's return was a doctrinal point we confessed and believed, but maybe not the one that energized the church. Time marched on. Christ has yet to return, and so we sit in what is now called the postmodern age, where the urgency and desire for Christ's return, it might be at a low ebb. We're all very comfortable. We still confess that Christ will return. Indeed, we just did. And we believe it honestly and truly. But if we look within ourselves, if we're honest with ourselves, do we actually want him to? It's been nearly 2,000 years since Christ first gave the promise that he would come again. And it seems that the Maranatha spirit might just be smoldering cinders at this point. We continue to live and to exist as if we're not going anywhere, or that Christ is not imminently returning to us. And cinders aren't really useful for a household. They're only evidence of a fire that once was. You can't cook with cinders. You can't boil water with cinders. You can't dry clothes with them. You can't get warm from them. What are smoldering cinders good for? Well, on their own, not much. But when someone adds new tinder and fuel, blows fresh air upon them, and then uses a poker to really stir it up, cinders are excellent for starting a fire. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people. O Lord, put the Spirit of the living God within this parish and this community, that we might desire the kingdom and the return of Jesus Christ, that we too, with the early church, might have the Maranatha spirit. Our souls ought to be stirred up, agitated, because they long for something that can only be fulfilled by the one who can satisfy, ultimately and finally, those human longings, Christ himself. Maranatha longs for Christ's return because the soul desires the fullness of God. The Middle Ages, they're right. We confess our sins and we repent, during Advent especially. But we should not do so because we fear death and hell, but so that we are unencumbered and ready to receive all the blessings that Christ desires to give. For at Christmas, he gives himself. With the modern man, it's true. We labor and work to build the kingdom of God through our service to the poor. We preach the gospel. We build schools. We have giving trees out in the narthex. And we order our lives around the church and devote ourselves to other good works. Not so that we can trade them in for salvation, but that we might be ready to offer back to God praise and thanksgiving for every blessing we've received. All the low ebbs of the church and history can be likened back to the days of Jeremiah. We must have our wills stirred up by God and give ourselves to the right things, to give ourselves to righteousness, where all things might be done unto the Lord. We must be stirred up yet again, year after year, with the Maranatha spirit. Advent begins next week, and not only should there be urgency within us, but longing and desire, for Christ is coming. He satisfies the deepest longings of the human soul. So this Advent, let us devote ourselves to prayer as we ought to do, but prayer in this way, that God might stir us up for the sake of the kingdom, and that we, with the apostles and the entire church, might say Maranatha with sincerity. Come, Lord Jesus, don't delay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. We hope you've been blessed by what you've heard. If you'd like to know more about St. Paul's, you can find us online at www.stpaulsmelbourne.org, as well as on Facebook. Please join us again next week as together we walk through the church year. This has been a presentation of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.